is what he or she does in times of darkness. We all go through times of darkness. If you live long enough, you're going to go through some hard times. You're going to go through some difficult days. It could be serious illness, might be financial trouble, could be trouble in your marriage or in your home, maybe a family problem, but there will be some trouble, some disturbing event, some darkness that will come to your life. And the test of a real child of God is what he or she does when those times come, when the lights go out. Now that's what these two verses are talking about down here tonight. And I want to show you three things about them. Number one, I want to show you how the darkness is described. And then I want to show you, number two, the danger that is described. And then the design of God that is described when you go through a time of difficulty. Now I want you to notice these three things. What to do when the lights go out. Number one, the darkness that is described. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 starts off and it says, "Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness and has no light?" Now, what does that say? Well, God is saying right there that you can be his servant, and you can be his child, you can be a believer, and obey his voice, and live right, and do right, and still go through times of darkness. You can be a Christian and go through periods of time in your life when the lights in your life just go out. You can go through periods of time of despair. And you can go through periods of misunderstanding when nothing seems to be making sense. And yet at the same time, you are a child of God. Notice the text says in verse 10, it speaks of one who fears the Lord that obeys the voice of his servant. Now, why am I driving that home? Why am I telling you that? I watch a lot of religious, well, I don't watch a lot, but I watch some religious programming on television, and you can get all kinds of ideas on religious programming on television. And I'm not saying don't watch that. I'm just saying be very careful as to what you hear and what you believe, to be sure to check it out the Word. Because not everything that you hear on those religious channels is necessarily true. For example, one misconception is that when you are born again, when you get saved and you're a child of God, you will never know darkness and you will never no longer have any more trouble in your life. Now, sometimes you'll hear that on television. There are some people who give you the idea that if you just live for the Lord Jesus and you're saved and you walk with Him, all of your problems are over. And I want to tell you what, that is just not so. I mean, that's not so because the Christian life, folks, is not all sunlight and roses. Somehow, we've gotten the distorted idea that if you get saved, from henceforth and forevermore, we will have perfect health, complete success, a happy family, a serene old age, and a glorious exit, and that just is not true. Now, a long time ago, in the first church I served as a staff member when I was still going to Anderson College, I was the youth director and associate pastor at Brenos Heights Baptist Church in Anderson. And one Sunday morning, kind of like this Sunday morning, we had our church and we had our worship together. And we had an older couple in our church who decided they'd go over across the river into Hartwell, Georgia. They'd go over there for lunch that day. And so they left our church, went down Highway 29 south. They went over into Georgia. They had their lunch. And then on the way back, there was an accident, a terrible accident. Mr. Cromer was killed immediately in the accident, and his wife, Eunice, was broken up terribly. Now, I was a young minister, and that's the first time I'd ever experienced something like that, but our pastor asked me to go to the hospital with him. I did. And in the days and the weeks and the months after that, I watched Miss Cromer go through some terrible times of recovery. And I thought to myself, you know, this is one of the finest Christian couples I have ever known. And why in the world did this happen? I mean, why did they have to go through this? Now, I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that you can be a believer, as I've already said, and sometimes you're going to go through some dark times. And if somebody tells you different, you just mark it down. That's a lie, because Christians still do have trouble. And there are times when Christians just cannot figure their troubles out. And you know, sometimes we'll say, well, why is this happening to me? I mean, there'll be times when the child of God will find himself in the dark. And according to this scripture, there are times when we'll walk in darkness, and we'll walk in the darkness. Now get this, because God allows it. Now God allows it. And sometimes we'll go through times like these because God permits it, and sometimes He even plans it, and God wills it. And I'm not saying everything that happens to you bad is God doing it, but sometimes God permits it, and He has a reason for that. Now, let me tell you a couple of things from the Bible. You remember old Job in the Bible? The Bible says Job was a righteous man. And he's just like I'm talking about. He was a child of God. He was living for the Lord God. He was living right. He was known to be a righteous man. But you remember the story of Job. Job went through a terrible time. The Bible says he lost his children. He lost his property. He lost his health. And I guess the worst thing he had is a wife who criticized him. She said, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? And Job knew that he hadn't done anything wrong. His friends came to him and said, Job, why don't you confess your sins? There's something in your life that's caused that. And Job said, I've not done anything. And yet he went through a very difficult time. God had a purpose in that. Or you take John the Baptist. John the Baptist in the New Testament got down in the dungeon in the darkness. And you remember how John the Baptist was the forerunner of Christ, and he came to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. And John the preached, and he prepared the people for the coming of the Lord. And old John the Baptist was a fearless preacher, and he met the Lord Jesus, and he talked about Jesus, that he was not worthy to, you know, loosen the shoes on Jesus' feet. He baptized the Lord. And yet sometime after that, John got down in a difficult time. Herod took him prisoner, put him down in a dungeon to kill him. And John the Baptist, down in the dungeon in the darkness, wondered if Jesus was really the one to come from God. He went through a dark time in his life. And even the Apostle Paul one time said, I am perplexed, but I am not in despair. Now there may be some of you here tonight, you love the Lord, but now maybe you're undergoing a time of darkness. Maybe you're going through a very difficult time. You have some problem that you don't know the way out of. You have some difficulty that you don't know how to handle. You know, I've had some friends before who, I mean, godly people, and you know, they'll have health issues, and they'll say, well, I don't know where this came from. One lady that we had in Fountain Inn contracted lung cancer. And she said, Preacher Mike, I don't know where this come from. I've never smoked a day in my life. We usually associate those things with lung cancer. And so she wondered about that. And you don't even understand sometimes why you're in the situation that you're in. And listen, folks, sometimes it does not make sense. Another lady we had in our church developed sclerosis of the liver. She'd never drank a drop of alcohol in her life. She said, Preacher Mike, I don't understand what's going on here. Well, that's the reason for this message tonight. What do you do when the lights go out in your life? I mean, if you're in that kind of situation, there are some truths, and I'm going to give you two truths that you ought to write them down, put them on a piece of paper, take a piece of tape, stick it on your refrigerator or something, but you need to remember this, and here's the first one. When you go through times that are difficult, just remember this. Because things don't make sense to you don't mean they don't make sense at all. But let that just kind of sink in. Because things don't make sense to you does not mean they don't make sense at all. You see, you may be going through some time of darkness, but the Bible says about God that both darkness and light are the same to Him. God is kind of like, you know, they say cats can see in the dark. Well, I enjoy deer hunting. I know deer can see in the dark. God has those deer eyes, you know. God can see in the dark. He sees the dark. The lightness and the darkness are all the same to God, and God's ways are not your ways, and His thoughts are not your thoughts. And as the heavens are so high above the earth, so are His ways and thoughts above ours. And God, now listen, you need to remember this. God always knows what He's doing. Now you may not know. And you may be wondering, what's going on here? And I've done this. What's going on? Why am I going through this? And I don't understand, but now you just mark it down and you hold on to this, because God knows what He's doing, okay? He may not tell me, He may not tell you, but God knows what He's doing. So because things don't make sense to you does not mean that they don't make sense at all. But here's the second truth that I want to share with you. Just because you are in darkness now does not mean that you will always be in the darkness. You'll not always be in the darkness. One day, you will understand everything. And you remember what Paul said one time. He said, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then one day, face to face." You don't always need to understand everything right away. Now, I hate to have to say that, because my mind tends to work in logical ways. I want to know, why did this happen? What's behind this? And I want to understand. But God has had to teach me there's some things in this world I'm not going to understand right off. May never understand them. Kind of reminds me of that old song we used to sing, "Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land, but He'll guide us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it better when? By and by." You know that old song. "By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by." All right, Preacher Mike, what are you saying? I'm saying, keep in mind that it's possible as a child of God to go through a dark night of the soul. You don't understand what's happening to you. Things don't make sense. You just can't figure it out. And that's the darkness described that you're going through. But now let's go a little bit further down here in the text. I want you to notice the second thing. And I want you to notice here the danger that is described. Now all of us are tempted when the lights go out to light our own fire. Let me give you an illustration. It's raining today, and of course, you know, we've not had a whole lot of thunder and lightning and storm. But in the summertime, I remember when I was living at home before Iris and I married, and you know, there'd be my mom and dad. We'd be sitting in the den watching television, my brother and my sister. And in the summertime, you know how these storms come up, and all of a sudden there'll be a flash and a rumble of thunder. And then all of a sudden, you're plunged into sheer blackness. And for a moment, you're just kind of disoriented. You don't know exactly what's taking place. But you're plunged into that darkness. Now, when that happens, I don't know. I guess it's like this at your house. But I know what's happening at my house. When it happens at our house, Iris will be over here. I'm sitting here. And maybe the TV's on, lights are on. And boom! And there's sudden darkness. And I'm thinking, what is going on? And then I hear some rustling over to the side. And I hear some drawers opening up. And I hear some rustling in the drawers. And that's Miss Iris. She knows where the candles are. She knows where the matches are. And she goes over there and she starts making her own light. And so we put out the candles, and you do the same thing where you can see, where you're kind of oriented. And that's what we do. When the lights go out in our lives, folks, and in our soul, we're tempted to do the same thing. When we're suddenly plunged into darkness, the natural thing for us to do is to look for some light. And if we don't have any divine light, we're tempted to make our own light. You know, this is where I come in. I'm going to work this thing out for myself. I don't understand this, but I'm going to work it out, or I'm going to find somebody who can help me work it out. That's exactly the wrong thing to do. That's the wrong thing to do. Now look at verse 11, and I'll show you. God says in verse 11, don't try to light your own fire when the lights go out. And if you are going to, if you do that, you're going to lie down in sorrow. You see that? Don't try to light your own fire when the lights go out. If you do that, you're going to lie down in sorrow. To light your own fire would be a big mistake. Why, Preacher Mike? Three reasons. And here they are. Number one, the darkness that you're going through, remember, is ordained of God. I mean, God permitted it. Whether you understand it or not, God allowed it. God permitted it. And you need to learn this about darkness. It has absolutely no power over light. You cannot extinguish light with darkness. Now suppose, once again, you're home one night and your room is full of light and somebody goes over and opens a window. Does that let the darkness in? No, it doesn't, does it? Darkness can't come where there's light. The only way the darkness can come is for the light to be withdrawn. You can't go over here to a switch and turn on the dark. And when the night comes, it does not chase away the day. The day is withdrawn. And the only way darkness can come is for light to be withdrawn. Now, if God is your light, and He is if you're a child of God, if God is your light, and He is, and He withdraws His shining into your life for a while, remember that is not necessarily the work of the devil. The devil has no power over light. It's all in God's hands. And if you're walking in darkness, it's because, well, God in His sovereign wisdom, at least for a little while, has allowed it. Why? God does not always want you to go tripping along in the sunshine. You say, what are you talking about? Iris and I have been to Phoenix, Arizona, and out there in the southwest in the Sonoran Desert several times. And we go out there, and there's all that sunshine. They may get 4 inches of rain a year. It is just as dry as it can be. All sunshine makes what? A desert. If you have all sunshine in your life as a child of God, you're going to be just as dry and puny as a believer as you possibly can be. All sunshine makes a desert. There are times when God allows the darkness to come into your life because He has a purpose for it. And then a second reason, another reason it's dangerous to try to light your own fire when the darkness comes, is because God uses the darkness. There are some things you can see better in the dark. There are some things that you can see better in the dark, the stars and the moon. And if there were no darkness, you would never see those things. You might see the moon faintly during the daytime, but you wouldn't see the stars. And maybe some of you can help me here, but I've always heard, it's interesting, they say this is true. It's an interesting thing to notice that if you get to the bottom of a deep well, somebody's maybe dug a deep well, and you go to the bottom of that deep well, even in broad daylight, you can see the stars if you look straight up. There is a wonderful view from the bottom of a well, but it is straight up. And maybe you're in the bottom of a well right now, and everybody else is walking in the light, but I'll tell you, you'll be seeing some wonderful things nobody else sees. You'll be seeing the stars. God has a way of taking those times of darkness to teach you some things you can't see or learn any other way. He'll show you some things you can't see any other way. And there are times that you'll only see some things in the dark that you will never see any other way. God will show you these things and teach you some things that's the only way He can do it. So He allows those dark times to come because He's trying to grow you as a believer. And then the third reason, one reason you don't want to let light or try to light your own fire when the darkness is about you, is because man-made light is deceptive. Man-made light is deceptive. Now let me give you another illustration here. When I was in seminary 100 years ago, a long time ago, when I was in seminary in Texas, I was working at the mall up above the seminary. Iris was working a couple of jobs, and I was working. We were trying to survive, and I was trying to get my graduate work done. And I worked at JCPenney's there for, two or three years. About Easter time, these mothers would come in with their boys. I worked in the boy department, so they'd come in, and they'd decide, well, their boy needs a suit. He needs a suit. And they'd come in, they'd start looking at sport coats, and they'd start looking at suits, and they would ask me to help them, and I'd go over there and help them, and we would be looking at a dark suit, maybe a blazer, maybe a black suit, but maybe not. And the mother would look at me as we were looking at the blazer or the black suit or whatever it was. She'd say, is that navy or is that black? Got those artificial lights. We're looking at it, and I say, it kind of looks navy to me. And she'd say, no, it kind of looks black. And I'd say, I tell you what, we'll find out. Come over here. And we would walk across our department, and we were right on the edge of the store. There was an entrance and exit right there at our department. All these big windows, and the sun was filtering in, and we would take that sport coat and look. Ah, yes, that's navy, not black, navy. Now, what do I say? I'm saying that man-made light is deceptive. Man-made light is deceptive. You may be going through a dark period in your life, and you go to somebody and you say, what's your idea about this? And they may not give you the right idea. They may not give you good advice. See? I mean, when people go through darkness, when it comes into their lives, you know, we want to get help elsewhere. And I'm not saying don't do that. Just be sure that you understand that man-made help, man-made light can be deceptive. The Bible does say that there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. So, you know, it's all right to ask people, but don't depend upon that. And, you know, we have this attitude, and this is me. Well, you know, we can't get an answer. And so we say, well, if God won't help me, I'll find out some other way. I'll figure this thing out myself or find somebody who can help me. But now remember this. If you light your own fire, you're going to make some mistakes. Two examples. Anybody remember Moses in the Bible? Y'all remember Moses? Okay. Remember the Bible says that Moses was down there in Egypt and he was raised in Pharaoh's family, and then God started to reveal himself to Moses, and God said, you know, I want you to lead your people out of bondage. And old Moses just jumped right in, and he saw one time one of the Hebrew people being abused, and so he killed the Egyptian soldier who was abusing the Hebrew and hid the man's body in the sands of Egypt. And what did he have to do? He had to flee for his life. He got into trouble. He jumped ahead of God. He made a mistake. Man-made light is deceptive. If you try to do things without God leading you, you're going to make a mistake every time. How about this illustration? How about Abraham? You remember Abraham? And God came to Abraham and his wife Sarah and said, I'm going to give you a child, and all the nations of the world are going to be blessed through this child. 10 years went by, 15 years went by, no child. And Abraham and Sarah were beginning to get kind of antsy about that thing. 20 years goes by, still no child. So they tried to run ahead of God. And you remember the story that Sarah gave her bondwoman to Abraham to birth a child. And you remember about Ishmael being born, the father of the Arab people. They ran ahead of God. And folks, they made a mistake that we're still paying for today. The Arabs and the Jews are constantly at each other today, all because somebody years ago depended upon man-made light to get them through a very dark time. And I'm saying to you that if you try to light your own fire, and as the Bible says, compass yourself about with sparks, then the Bible says the day is coming that you're going to lie down in sorrow. That's exactly what's going to happen. Now that's the darkness described. That's the danger described. And now what are we leading up to? Preacher Mike, when I go through a dark time, what does God want me to do? I mean, let me tell you about God's design in the whole thing. What should we do when the darkness comes? Well, we said one thing not to do, and it's try to light your own fire. Don't try to make your own light. Well, what should you do? Notice down here in the text, God tells us there are two things we are to do when the lights go out. Look at verse 10, number 10. Look what it says down there. Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord. Now, folks, sometimes God brings us to a place in our lives where there is absolutely nothing that you can do but trust God. Iris and I did that. Our first child was full term. Came time to deliver. He was dead. Made no sense to me whatsoever. I had studied 3 years in seminary, preparing myself for that first pastorate. We'd gone to that first pastorate, expecting our first child. That child was gone. And I'm thinking, God, I have given my life to serve you, and I absolutely do not understand this. This absolutely does not make any sense. my mind that tends to work in logic, I couldn't reason that thing out. I struggle with that thing. And sometimes God does bring us to a place in our lives where there's absolutely nothing you can do but trust God. And you see, God strips you of everything, even your own reason. Do you know what an hourglass is? You know what an hourglass is. It's got sand on one side, kind of, you know, you turn it over and goes to the other side. Well, faith and reason are like two sides of an hourglass. When one side is full, the other is empty. And you'll find times in your life when you are without any reason, completely in the dark, and all you can say is just, "Oh God, just trust God." That's all that you'll be able to do. And here's the thing, that's exactly what God wants you to do. And sometimes God withdraws the light so that in the darkness we'll trust Him. I don't know how you are, but in my life when things are going well, all the kids are healthy, the grandkids are healthy, they're all making straight A's in school, you know, and Miss Iris is not sassing me or anything. Don't, I shouldn't have said that. But when everything is going well, I start getting a little slack in my devotional time, maybe. I start getting away from the Lord. I don't give Him as much thought as maybe I should be. I don't depend upon Him as much as I should. And I start drifting away. And God says, "No, I want you to trust me." Maybe He allows a little disturbance to come to get me straightened up here and get my mind back right. See, do you understand what I'm saying? See, God does that sometimes. He wants us to trust Him. And sometimes God withdraws the light so that in the darkness we'll trust Him. Just trust the Lord when it does not make sense, because God can see in the dark. Well, what to do when the lights go out? Just keep trusting. But now look back again at verse 10. Here's the second thing to do. "Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of His servant, that walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God." You see that word "stay"? That word "stay" means lean. Lean. This is why the darkness comes, that you might trust and that you might lean on the Lord. That root word for this word "stay" is also found in Psalms 23. It is the word "staff." "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." The old shepherd is out there and he's leading his sheep and he's got this staff. He can use it for defense. Little sheep falls down the cliff, he can reach down and hook it and bring it back up. Or he can lean upon that thing and get support. Two illustrations of that. Here's the first one. If you haven't found it out, you'll find it out. I enjoy hunting and fishing. I enjoy the outdoors. I enjoy duck hunting. I got started duck hunting years ago. There was a beaver swamp behind our church in Georgia. And in that beaver swamp, there was this big pool of water, and the water would be about this deep, and the mud would be about that deep. And I'd have hip boots on, or I'd have waders on, or whatever. And so when I started hunting, I'd maybe get a duck, and I'd be out there way, I'd be up like this deep in mud. And I would stumble, and I would fall into that muck and that mire. It is a mess. Get my boots filled up. It's cold. Just about freeze to death and have to go home. Well, my mother didn't raise any dumb youngin'. And I noticed on the bank there was these sticks that beavers had gnawed on and left behind. I thought, you know what? I'll get me one of those sticks and I'll have three legs instead of two. And when I start out across there, if I start to stumble, I'll put that stick down and catch myself. It worked. Here's the second illustration. A lady in our church in Fountain Inn is now in an assisted living. But before she went there in her home, I would visit with her and I'd say, "Now, Yvonne, I see here's a door to your home and I see a cane. And here's a door to your home and I see another cane. And I see another door to your home, here's another cane." She said, "Well, Mike, if I go outside, I got to have something to keep me from falling, see." Now that's the idea right down here. That's what a staff does. It is something to lean upon, something to lean upon. And when you go through a dark valley, you need something to lean on. You're to lean on the Lord like a man would lean on his staff. And the problem with most of us is that we walk so much in the light that we lean upon our own strength. That's what I do, my intellect, my strength, my reason, the resources I have to fall back on, people I know, I tend to lean on those things rather than the Lord if I'm not careful. That's exactly what I do. But there are times when God will bring you to darkness, and when He does, He wants you to lean upon Him, see? And let me tell you, and you ought to write this down. Somebody said one time, it is better to be in the dark valley with Jesus than on the sunlit slopes without Him. Amen? Now I'm going to say that again. It is better to be in the dark valley with Jesus than on the sunlit slopes without Him. I want to summarize because we need to go home here in a minute, but I want to summarize. What am I saying? There are times that it will be dark, and all you can do is trust and lean on God. Don't light your own fire. Don't take things into your own hands. Just lean on Jesus. And friend, if you cannot know why, you can know whom. Amen. Rely upon the Lord Jesus. Let me close. This is a poem I came up with. I didn't come up with it. Read it. If the fields refuse a harvest and the trees no longer bear, if the flocks forsake their shepherd and my head be bowed with care, I know His ways are wondrous with this man made out of dust, and these lips of clay shall praise Him though the world be turned to rust. If the roses lose their fragrance and the birds no longer sing and the rivers cease their flowing and the bells refuse to ring, still I know that God's in heaven and I know that all is well. So my lips will sing His praises in the gospel story tale. I will praise Him. Yes, I will praise Him. There will be a better day. There will be a bright tomorrow. God will never pass away. And all God's people said, amen. I want you to bow your heads, please, and close your eyes. And the musicians are going to come and prepare to have an invitation hymn. You may be here tonight, maybe you're going through it.